Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 16 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bam and I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Morana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Morana?
Alhamdulillah, Morana, we have missed you for a very long time.
Yes, Morana, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't know if that's fact.
Ajay, that is a fact, eh?
Hey, is it a fact with you?
We
take this opportunity of us saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners. And we also hope that they all had a wonderful Eid and a wonderful Bakri Eid break.
Gee, Mulana, we hope that Mulana also had a fruitful Bakri Eid.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, although it seems that it's been so long ago that we celebrated that day, Morana.
Gee. Morana, we have decided that, I know the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks we did was we took Suratul Kahf, the commentary of Suratul Kahf, for half the time, and the other half we were understanding modern technology, but we felt that it was too much discussed in a very short time, and
Absolutely. Both
are very important. So Morana has come up with the idea that we should first do the first 10 ayats, which is important, of Suratul Kahf. And it also shows us about the fitna and the difficulties that we are facing today. And from there, we will, inshallah, go into the understanding of modern technology after we complete the first 10 ayats, Monana.
Inshallah, we'll do that. And then we'll get back to the tafsir of Suratul Kahf after that, inshallah.
Si. Monana, in our last few discussions, we were busy with the ayats from وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةٍ تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. Those were the last two ayats that we discussed. And in this we said that it's a warning, and we discussed who the warning was for, and that who has said that Allah has a son. And then we said that this warning is actually for every person that commits shirk. Anyone that commits shirk, it is for the Jews because of their belief with Uzair, and the Christians because of their belief that Isa a.s. is the son of Allah, and even the mushrikeen of Mecca at that time because they believe the angels are the daughters of Allah. And then we came to the ayat of كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, where we mentioned that how serious it is that what they are saying, where they have committed shirk and where they have put children for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that grave is the statement that emerges from their mouths, and it is only lies that they speak. Manana?
That's correct, Manana.
So I think we can
continue from here, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As you have correctly said, that we were discussing or expanding on the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the warning is for those who say and who claim that Allah has a son. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this warning is to warn those who have said that Allah had a son while they have no knowledge. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no knowledge about it. وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ. Nor had their fathers any knowledge about what they are claiming that Allah has a son. أعوذ بالله. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. How bad, how grave is this word that comes out of their mouths. إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They say nothing but a lie. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes how serious is the consequence of what they are saying. And they say it over and over again. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes that as Allah had described it in another ayah of the Quran, that even the heavens are shaking, and even the heavens shake out of fear at what a big and what they are saying, which will explain the next ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah that because of this claim that they make, even the heavens are shaking out of fear of how bad, how grave, how monstrous is this claim that they make. And because of that, you witnessing that, and Allah declares that the heavens are shaking, so you are also extremely grieved by what they are saying. So you are grieving as much as you are always almost dying out of grief. So this is the contrast or the backdrop upon which this ayah is being discussed. Let's expand a little bit to get a reflection and some, let's ponder upon how grave this is and this claim that they make, and how it affects Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the effect of the effect on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's time, when people say lies about someone, and when they talk lies about someone that you love, it becomes very difficult to tolerate that. And you try to help them, and they are speaking ill of someone you love. Imagine you're doing something good for someone, and the people for whom you are doing so much good turns around and starts talking lies about someone that you love. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for Allah is beyond our comprehension. And when he hears monstrosities, huge false claims being said against Allah, and he has to still call the same people to Allah lovingly, you can imagine what is going through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mind. We, in our times, don't have that kind of tolerance. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so worried about them. إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَتِبَ Allah says, they say nothing but a lie. When you say something false, it could be that you might be knowing, or you said it out of no knowledge. But when you say a lie and you know it's a lie, it's even worse. There's progression. First, you say something out of ignorance, that you had ignorance, you are ignorant of something, and your parents were also ignorant of something, and then you don't realize how serious is what you are saying. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points directly to the people of knowledge that know that there is no basis for Trinity, or that He is the Son of Allah. Yet they still say it, and they know it is a lie. So Allah is drawing this picture for Rasulullah, that they saying this, they have no knowledge about it. They are ignorant possible, but I have made it clear, and you have also made it clear, that it's not true that Allah has a son. Yet they continuously say that, إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا There is no value in what they are saying. And the only attribute you can give to it is it's a lie. The uniqueness and the oneness of Allah not having a son is not a complex idea. It's not something that is difficult to comprehend that Allah does not have a son. You can't have knowledge of Him having a son because it's mythical. Allah uses the word إِيَّقُولُونَ with the word in the first part of the ayah, in. This, in the Arabic grammar, gives a stronger negation, a denial, if the word ma was used, ma yaquluna illa kadiba. But Allah said, iyaquluna, it gives a more profound meaning. Now, you know, it is so beautiful, the Quran, Mawlana, that they believe in the concept of Trinity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, ma lahum bihi min ilm, وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا There is actually three layers of refutation in this ayah. Like how they believe in this concept of Trinity, in this ayah Allah has given three layers of refusing and a refutation in this ayah. The first layer, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ They have no knowledge. The second layer, وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ And nor do their fathers have any knowledge. And the third layer, إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا What they say is only lies. This is how beautiful the Quran addresses the concept of Trinity. It's ironic that it is a refutation of the Trinity and it's done three times over. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ First time. وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ Second time. إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا Third time. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to mind, where Rasulullah talks about the qualities of a believer. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yadba'u al-mu'min ala kulli shayn illa al-khiyana wal-kadhib. A believer has been molded with all kinds of qualities except two, which is dishonesty and lying. In other words, if a person has the attribute of dishonesty, and if a person has the characteristics of lying, then such a person cannot be regarded as a believer. Somebody has a potential to come to Iman, has a potential to come to faith, if they are willing to let go of dishonesty and lying. If you are willing to let go of that, then you have a potential of accepting Iman. You have a potential of coming into the fold of Iman and faith. But if you are not willing to let go of dishonesty, if you are not willing to let go of lying, then it's very difficult for such a person to embrace Iman and faith. All kinds of flaws and bad qualities can coexist with faith, except if you are not able to be honest with yourself. And therefore Allah's Rasul is being told and consoled that they are lying. And because they are lying and because they are dishonest, there is no hope for them to come into the fold of Islam. So don't concern yourself so much about it. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. So Allah says to Rasulullah, so O Muhammad, O Prophet, perhaps you are going to kill yourself after them out of grief if they do not believe in this discourse, in this what we are telling them. This is also so beautiful, where in this ayah, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ. In this surah, in Surah Kahf, from the beginning to this ayah, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken in the third person. What do I mean by that? Allah said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Praise and gratitude belong to Allah, who sent upon His slave. That is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah is mentioned in the third person. So Allah is addressing the believers, that Allah, praises for Allah, who has sent this book to His slave. Rasulullah is mentioned in the third person. So he could warn, that means Rasulullah could warn. And everything so far has been in the third person. But here in this ayah, in ayah number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes his conversation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes his speech. And now Allah speaks directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the past 5 ayats, Allah spoke about Rasulullah in the third person. In other words, if the two of us are talking, and we're talking about someone that is not within our discussion, we refer to him as him, he, in the third position. But now Allah directs his speech directly to Rasulullah. فَلَعَلَّكَ. So perhaps you, Muhammad, are going to kill yourself after them, out of grief, if they do not believe in this discourse. So perhaps you are going to kill yourself in grief and end up losing your life out of stress. Not perhaps he is losing or he is going to lose, but you going from the third and all of a sudden to the second person. This is so powerful, because we learn that all of what we have read thus far in the surah results in the statement that Allah wants to make to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. All of the previous ayats led up to this statement of Allah talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly in the first person, in the second person. So Allah says, it is feared, Rasulullah Muhammad, that you will kill yourself in grief. The disbelievers hope that you will kill yourself in grief because they do not believe in this. We note and see that the beginning 10 ayats of the surah are Allah's way of consoling and comforting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if you recall, right in the beginning of our discussion, we spoke about the questions that were posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will give you the answer waiting for wahi, and wahi did not come. Wahi was postponed for at least 15 days, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely grieved, and he the wahi was postponed because he did not say inshallah. I'm just giving a quick reference of what we had said right in the beginning of our discussion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extremely grieved. Number one, wahi has not come. Number two, these people are beginning to taunt Rasulullah that you don't even have the answers and you claim to be a Nabi. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more concerned that because I am unable to give them the answers of their questions, they are going deeper and deeper and deeper into disbelief. And for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gripped with grief, with sadness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first 10 ayats of the surah. Don't grieve, don't bother. The disbelievers want you that you must kill yourself in grief because they do not believe. So in the beginning 10 ayats of the surah, this is Allah's way of consoling and comforting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worried. You are worried over the consequences and the ruins that they leave behind as a consequence of their actions, the actions of claiming that Allah has a son. This is causing great concern to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah is also aware of the consequences of the people that claim that Allah has a son. The consequence of that belief in the world is tremendous. It's going to be great. And that is a second reference and connection of this ayah, of this surah, to the times that we are living in. The fitna of Dajjal. This fitna, this ideology, and remember, and I'm saying this again repeatedly, the one is the emergence of the personality of Dajjal. And the second is the ideology of this fitna, which we are already seeing playing out in the world. The fitna of being obsessed with materialism. The fitna of secularism that diverts your attention from Akhirah to this world, where you want immediate gratification, where there is no more an effort in recognizing Allah, but you have your faith in the means that are there, not in Allah Himself. And the effort of the outward beauty instead of the inner beauty of the human being, which is morality. And these are, in a brief, the concept or the conclusion of the fitna of the Dajjal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is aware that this fitna, the concept of materialism, the concept of secularism, has started from this Christian faith and is a belief of Allah having a son. And the consequences of that is that it is going to promote the ideology of the Dajjal. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extremely worried. You are worried over the consequences and the ruins that this fitna and this concept and this ideology and this belief will leave behind. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now concerned. Let's look at some aspect with relating to this fitna of Dajjal and the grief and the concern that Rasulullah has that this ideology will bring about. If you look at the human history, there are three transitions that have happened in modern society that has led, or which is leading rather, to a fourth transition. The first transition is transition of human concentration that is focused from Allah and it converted and transferred to focus on science and technology. That's one of the first transition that has happened in human history. Now, this discussion might be a little bit deep, and for the benefit of our listeners, if there's any time that there is something that is said that needs or requires further elaboration, by all means our listeners can call in, sending an SMS, and we will go into more depth of what we are just discussing.
Jim, let me just give the number out. The SMS line to call is, the way you want to send your SMS is 48855. It's 48855. And the line to call in if you have any queries is 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. And don't hesitate if you have any queries to call us and to clarify the matter also. Shimon, we can continue?
Inshallah. So what are we talking of? The reminders. There are three transitions that have went or the human, modern human society has went through, which is now going to a fourth transition, leading to a fourth transition. The transition initially of human concentration in focus in Allah to science and technology. Then came the second transition. Focus from one's soul, from one's ruh, from one's spirit, from one's fitra, in rectifying one's inner being to rather focus on the body and the outer physical appearance. There is so much effort today that everybody just wants to look smart outwardly, but very little effort is made on the inner, rectifying the inner ills that we have within our spirit, within our fitra, the not being showing gratitude, not being humble. These are things where people are not really concerned much, but people's effort, and you see this in the world today, there is so much effort in just looking smart, looking good. In other words, the focus from the inner being is now converted to focus on the body and the outer physical appearance. Then is another transition, focus from the afterlife and how to fix your afterlife, and now we are more focused on this life and how to improve our life in this world. So these are three transitions that mankind has gone through after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Firstly, it was focus on Allah. Now focus is no more on Allah. Focus is on science, on technology, on means. Second is that the focus was supposed to be, or it was, in rectifying your akhlaq, rectifying your morality, rectifying your fitra, rectifying your soul. But that's gone, and now all focus is on just rectifying your body and your outer appearance and your physical strength and your physical looks. And the third focus is from afterlife, you have now gone on to fixing and improving your life in this world. As a result of these three transitions, the most dangerous and among the greatest victim of all these transitions is our morality. Morality, which was used to be absolute because it came from Allah, and the purpose of morality was to keep yourself pure. But because Allah is no more your focus, your fitra and your soul is no more your focus, and your akhirah is no more your focus, our concern, morality became something that's relative. Morality is now up to you, and what you feel is right, and what you feel is good. How often do we hear people say, my conscience is clear, I don't care what others say? It's not about your conscience. It's not about what you feel is right or wrong. It's what Allah declared as right and wrong. So this transition started from the senseless creed of Allah having a son. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned that this concept and this ideology of Allah having a son has brought about these transitions in human history. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is grieved. So Allah says, it is feared, O Muhammad, that you will kill yourself in grief. The disbelievers hope that you will kill yourself in grief because they do not believe in this message. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had certain concerns, and they are all being addressed in the previous ayats. One, for example, of those concerns is that they asked him a question. They asked him a question about the people of the cave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not receive revelation for 15 days. And his concern is, if the answer never comes, then these people will never believe. And the people have become more aggressive in their disbelief as the days have gone by since their question. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that he is the last messenger of Allah. And he also knows if he is not able to fix their disbelief, then no one else is going to come and fix it. So in these first ayats, Allah took the messenger's concerns and Allah addressed them. And then Allah says, I've addressed all your concerns. You are still going to worry so much, And are you really going to kill yourself over it? Generally, you find two types of people, decent and indecent. Decent people are those, no matter how much they do, they will always feel, I haven't done enough. On the other hand, you have indecent people who just do a small amount of work, but when they do that work, they feel like they've done the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how much he does, he feels like he isn't doing enough. And he feels like the disbelievers aren't getting any better. So maybe he thinks he isn't doing a good enough job to remove them from disbelief. Ayah number 2 in the surah was in the past tense. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdil kitab wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja qayyiman liyundira ba'san shadid, which means that whatever has come already from the Quran is already perfect. The Quran is perfect. You don't need to even wait for the answers to the questions about the people of the Cape. If you are unable to give them the questions of the people of the Cape, you don't have to worry. The Quran is already perfect. This book is already straight. If they aren't becoming straight, it is because of them, not because of you, not because of any deficiency in the book, not because there is any deficiency in the way you are promoting and propagating this message. Allah says, I have chosen the perfect slave for it. Then Allah says, you are my choice. Ala abdihi al-kitab, you are my choice. I know what I'm doing and why I chose you. This is a strong transition that we learn from the word fa in the ayat. Fala'allaka bakh. The word la'allak can be used to express hope in something that is desired. It has meanings of being hopeful, of optimism, so that you, some mufassirin have said, it is also used when you are worried about someone or something that should be taken precaution in. La'allak. So perhaps this will happen. And out of concern, you are saying it. This is the type of la'allak which has been used here. The la'allaka, perhaps, is used because of the overwhelming concern Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his extreme worry over the disbelievers not believing. Some commentators said what la'allak, perhaps, is in the meaning of forbidding him. It is like Allah is telling Rasulullah, you are heading down the road of killing yourself. So don't do that. Don't worry yourself so much. Don't kill yourself worrying about them. Don't keep doing this. There are other indications in other ayats in the Quran to this meaning. Another meaning of la'allak, perhaps, is used as a rhetorical question in order to stop someone from doing something. So Allah is telling Rasulullah, stop it. Don't worry. The idea that it can be used like this is used in the Kufi school of grammarians. Then Allah used the word bakhi', فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعَ. The linguistic meaning of bakhi' is somebody that is exhausted. Someone who has become emotionally exhausted until they are at the verge of death. And all the work they put into something has gone to waste. When someone goes out of their way, overworking and putting too much pressure on themselves until they get to the point where they are going to die. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing this bakhi' to himself. He is emotionally over exhausting himself. He's put every effort in changing their mindset, changing their ideology. So Allah uses the word bakhi'. That it is like you are killing oneself out of anger, out of frustration, out of sadness. Killing yourself and destroying yourself, a violent death, just out of regret. Bakhi', when your feelings are killing you, when your stress is killing you, when your depression is killing you, you can physically die because of psychological problems. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, we are worrying too much. Your emotional stress and worry is killing you. You know, the word bakhi' is also a very common saying in the Arabic language, is bakhi'ul ard. And earth that is experiencing bakhi' is when there is so much cultivation done on it that it no longer has the longevity to give any more produce. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so much of good to give. But even that good, when overworked, when emotionally disturbed, when emotionally depressed, when emotionally sad, there will be nothing left in him to give. This is good advice that Allah is giving to Rasulullah. In the fitna of Dajjal, in the fitna of the ideology of Dajjal, when killing and corruption will become so widespread that if you think of it, you'll get so overwhelmed with the news and pressure. So, bakhi', exhaust yourself until you are causing yourself harm. There is a category in the Arabic language on different types of death. To be choked, to be strangled, to be killed, to be dying out of grief. Bakhi' is one such type of killing that is out of grief. So, there is an imagery that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing for us. The image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grieving so much over their ruins and the things they left behind. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. The word athar is that which you leave behind. It is like Allah is giving you an image of someone you love. You have an image of someone you love and you worry about, and they don't care about you, they left. And they left some things behind. There's someone you have an attachment with. You love that person extremely. But that person who you love just suddenly leaves and leaves some tracks behind. And now you are going into this empty house of your beloved one. And you see some remnants of what they used to have. And that makes you sad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being saddened. But what they left behind, what they are going to leave behind. But that's the image of someone who is already gone. These people, in the time of Rasulullah, aren't gone yet. They are still there at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this imagery that Allah draws implies that they are already gone. And Rasulullah is sad upon their remnants, upon their footprints, upon what they've left. What this means is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understands what their shirk and their disbelief and the ideology of having a son for Allah will result in. And just knowing the consequence and the ruin that it will leave in their wake is in itself alone stressing him. The consequence of the creed of Trinity was inspired by this phrase. These are the consequence of those who said Allah has taken a son. Just the thought of that and the consequence of that is eating away at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which you said earlier was the idea of morality no longer being absolute and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at some of the more additional benefits of this verse, Marana. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. So, O Muhammad, perhaps you are going to kill yourself after them, out of grief, if they do not believe in this discourse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the one hand is being told that you are killing yourself in grief. And in another instance, he is told, Allah gets to guide whoever he wants. If you are so zealous to guide them, and Allah does not guide whoever he does not decide to guide. When Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, passes away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You cannot give guidance to whomsoever you wish, but Allah gives guidance to whomsoever he wills, and he best knows the ones who are on the right path. So when this happened, Allah says to Rasulullah, you do not get to give guidance who you love. You no doubt don't get to guide who you love. But Allah refused to restrict this statement to Abu Talib. Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot give guidance to whomsoever you wish. Allah could have said, you cannot give guidance to him. That means Abu Talib. But Allah said, you cannot give guidance to whomsoever you wish. What Allah is saying here is that the love of the messenger for people is not restricted to Abu Talib. When Allah used the word Ahbabta, but the Prophet's love of guidance is way more than that. We are learning that the Prophet is literally killing himself out of concern for these people. And Allah is telling him, don't worry about it. This is such a beautiful contrast and conflict between what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feels and what Allah wants him to feel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked the most beautiful human being and the most loving human being to pass the message of Allah. Allah has an infinite love, infinite amount of love, and he loves his creation more than anyone could. But humans, including the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have a limited capacity to love. At a certain point, loving too much can kill a person. And we see this in life's experience. Humans have a particular capacity of loving. And if that capacity is passed, then that emotional feeling can cause so much harm that it can kill you. So in these ayats, Allah is not telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't care about that. But he is telling Rasulullah, tone it down a bit. Because Rasulullah is reaching his maximum capacity to love. And this maximum capacity to love is going to kill him. All these ayats are telling us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to keep his emotional balance. Because if he gets too stressed about what every person who dies as a disbeliever, he will not be able to spread the message. So during the time of Abu Talib, things got overwhelming. So Allah is pulling back the reins. We in our time, should not understand these ayats as we do now. Today our approach is that if they don't listen, then Allah guides whomsoever he wills. No. For us it's different. We don't even make an iota of effort and concern of what Rasulullah had. These ayats are about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to the world. These ayats are about Rasulullah, who had to be told to not care so much so as not to kill himself. Today, in our time, we don't even care to begin with, and we justify our lack of concern by using these types of ayats to justify that. The word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used, atharihim. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ atharihim. You will kill yourself in grief over the impact of them turning away. And over the impact of them turning away and not listening to what you have to say, atharihim necessitates that it be something which comes after them. Which further proves this idea of this creed that will come after them and the damage that it will leave behind. What are you going to do after they die on this belief? Somebody died after someone else, after following someone else. And the essence of the meaning is that when a human being dies, their memorabilia and the remnants are left behind for a while. And eventually all of that is erased and it disappears. It is literally that which is left behind when somebody walks on sand, example on the beach, and they leave behind footprints, or left behind dust and rows of dust behind. It is also used for something that you leave behind when you move from one house to another, and you don't really have any use of it anymore. The leftover of the things you don't have use of. So Allah's Rasul is saying, Allah is telling Rasulullah, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارٍ. You are going to kill yourself over the impact of what they are going to leave behind. And what is it that they have left behind? this ideology of Christianity and this ideology of having a son, which was the birth of secularism, which was the birth of materialism, is إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا, that they will not believe in this deen. إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. So, O Muhammad, perhaps you are going to kill yourself after them out of grief if they do not believe in this message. It is reinforcing the Quran here as the hadith. Hadith, Allah talks about the Quran as a hadith, and this is another discussion that also requires some detail, Maulana, and I think we'll conclude here and come back to this ayah next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Maulana. Is
there anything that is required, a word of additional explanation or area that we needed more elaboration, our listeners can call in or send an SMS, and inshallah, in our next discussion, we can elaborate on that.
Ji, Maulana. Maulana, jazakallah for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to Maulana, inshallah, next week, Wednesday again.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.